The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you really like to talk about. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Perhaps you've had a problem, and guess what? You've done everything you can think of. You tried, you've applied all kinds of things, and come up with the same old thing. You know, nothing, empty. Doesn't work. Well, here's your opportunity. It's important that we walk through things that seem to be apparent and open the door and realize that sometimes we're looking in the wrong direction. I want to have a subject today, and the subject I'm going to talk about is one that this Wednesday evening, October the 4th, I'm going to be your host. Yep, I'm going to be your presenter, your host at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And it's one that many people have asked me to talk about because I treat so much of it. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. And, you know, all that things and stuff out there that makes you burn. Makes you burn, makes you hurt, makes your chest, you know, have pressure on it. All those things are not okay because they are symptoms of potential problems. But here's the clue. It's not necessarily due to acid. It's not necessarily due to acid. Think about the term GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. It doesn't say anything about acid. It just says that you have a problem. And the big problem is that so many of our doctors, well-meaning as they might be, say that that burning that you experience, that pressure that you have, that cough that you have is a result of too much acid. And so they put you on protein pump inhibitors, you know, things like Nexium and Prilosec and Prevacid. And they, actually, there's a whole lot of them. The list goes on and on and on. And in my opinion, and as much documentation bears out, it is a subject that is really unknown in the traditional community. And these drugs are overprescribed and misused at such a high level that they're causing all types of other problems. And by the way, you know, Prilosec and Nexium and Prevacid and their cousins and brothers and sisters, these were drugs that were not designed to treat GERD. They were designed to treat other conditions. And we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, they're called protein pump inhibitors. And they've been linked to dramatic increased risk of heart attack. And this is in people who've had no prior incidence or history of cardiovascular disease. That's right. It can increase your risk dramatically, even though that you've never had a history or any other predisposing symptoms that would make you think that you have a heart problem and you end up with something called death. And this Wednesday evening, I'm going to get into that intimately. I'm going to teach you how that happens. And not only that, but what are your options? Why are you burning? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the program today. But other side effects of these protein pump inhibitors are things like pneumonia and tremendous loss of bone calcium and mineralization, leading to fractures of all sorts, particularly hip fractures in the elderly. Because guess what? This is another one of those drugs that we see as people get older are used at a much higher level. And something called Clostridium difficile infection. And these are things that eat your intestinal tract and cause your immune system to plummet. So we're going to get into the why behind that. But here's the truth. 20 million Americans are taking these acid inhibiting drugs, these PPIs, these protein pump inhibitors. 20 million. That's huge. And that's not including the people that are going out and just taking Tums and other things like Maalox to blunt the burn. So you need to be aware that for most people who are taking that, the risk super outweighs the benefits. And there are many alternative things that you need to know about that don't have these side effects. But again, we're talking about something that is viewed as a increased acidic problem, and it really isn't. Before we get into the details of some of this, I want you to understand something. Burning is not necessarily caused by acid. You can burn because of other extremes. So let's talk about that for a second. Have you ever had a garden and you go out and, you know, you put certain things in the garden, and one of it is lye. And lye has to do with the making the soil more alkaline, less acidic. But if you get too much lye in the garden, it goes to an extreme. You actually burn out your plants. You burn out anything that you're growing. The same thing happens in your stomach. If you don't have enough acid, you will burn your stomach. So here we have an extreme. As we get older, see, once you hit about age 60, late 50s, into your 50s, you have about 30% of the hydrochloric acid that is normally produced when you're about 25 years old. So we lose acid. So how can there be too much acid if we're losing that much acid? If we only have about 30% of the acid that we had when we were young. See, you need that to break things up. So when you blunt that acid, you're going to have problems. So we start seeing the side effects, and there's very serious complications as a result of these protein pump inhibitors that are overused and overprescribed. You know, PPIs are among the most widely prescribed drugs out there today. Matter of fact, their sales, get this, their sales amount to about $14 billion per year. That's a B, $14 billion, just one category drug, despite the fact that they were never invented to treat heartburn in the first place. $14 billion, what an industry, right? So protein pump inhibitors were not designed to treat heartburn. So why are they used that way? Well, PPIs, the most powerful class of antacid drugs, were actually designed to treat a very limited range of severe problems, such as bleeding ulcers. There's a condition called Zollinger-Ellison syndrome. It's a rare, rare condition, and it causes the stomach to produce too much acid, but it's rare. It's not one of those things that, you know, you just say, oh, it, you know, one out of four people. No, it's extremely rare. And severe acid reflux, where when they do that thing called an endoscopy, when they look down your throat and take a look at your esophagus, they see that your esophagus is damaged. And that's a rare. But everybody jumps on the bandwagon and says, oh my gosh, you have heartburn. And if we don't treat it, you're going to end up with this severe problem where it's going to eat your esophagus and you're going to end up with cancer to the esophagus. Very rare, rare situation. This Wednesday evening, October the 4th, I will be your host, your presenter. We're going to get into this, and we're going to show you what really happens, and more importantly, how you can fix it. Did you know that if you had an accident, or if you have neck problems, neck and shoulder problems, or you have pain between your shoulder blades, that this can lead to a problem known as GERD? And there's reasons for that. Or if you, you know, you had a motor vehicle accident or a fall or somebody hit you in the head and it locks your skull and the upper portion of your neck, there's two nerves. One's called the vagus nerve. It's a long cranial nerve that comes all the way down. It's the longest nerve in your body. And it touches the heart, it touches the lungs, it touches the stomach, it touches the large intestine, it goes all the way down and hits the bladder. And if that nerve transmission is disturbed in any way, you're going to have symptoms that are associated. One of them is associated with GERD, and you end up having problems that may be acidic, but just maybe lack of digestion. So, and then the middle of the neck, the second and third cervical vertebrae, house a nerve that comes all the way down. It's called the phrenic nerve. And it's made up of two segment distributions, and that goes down and it allows the diaphragm, this big muscle that cuts you in half, to move properly. And if the diaphragm is not working, it's going to put pressure on your stomach, and that can cause you digestive problems or reflux patterns. It's a reflux is more important than this increased acidity. But here's another one. Did you know that the wrong types of foods can cause you to have the symptoms of GERD? If you eat things that you're allergic to, if you eat too many carbohydrates, if you eat foods that are fried, none of those are good for you, by the way, and those will give you symptoms called GERD. an acid something or other, that you go to your doctor and you start, first you start taking things to blood, and you start drinking too much milk, which makes it worse. Then you start getting Maalox and you get Tums and, you know, and oh my gosh, I can chew them. That's okay. You know, so they design, because it's a $14 billion industry from prescription and not necessarily the stuff that you're buying on your own. So we have to understand that there's a backdoor problem here. And the backdoor problem is that they are not addressing the why behind the situation. And I'm going to address the why Wednesday evening, and I'm going to show you what you can do about this thing. And the turnoff, we're going to talk about stomach. We're going to talk about how these things happen. We're going to show you very, very demonstrably what takes place. So these drugs, you know, were initially released during, just after I started practice in the 80s. I'd been in practice for about 10 years or so. And it's important to note that these drugs could not only be obtained without prescription in the beginning, they were out there, you just go walk in and get it, but they were not recommended, only able to be obtained with a prescription. And they were not recommended to use more than once, you know, more than 1 week. So why is that? Because did they know more then than they know now? I thought things were supposed to get better as time goes on. So, today they're sold over the counter. You can go pick up low dosages of this stuff and you just double up on them, right? So the recommendation, you know, was to use them for no more than 2 weeks, but kind of calm them down. And then they got more, then maybe three times a year they said you could use them. But why were they so cautious then and they're not cautious now? Well, they knew, and we still know today, that they lead to things like pneumonia and bone loss and hip fractures and infection and heart failure. So why is it that, you know, the drug companies now say, well, you really don't need a prescription, you can go get this stuff on market? It's important to realize that PPIs suppress the production of stomach acid. And by the way, in severe cases may cause, you know, short-term help, but used for a long period of time without addressing why it's there, you end up with a very severe broad range problematic situation. Reducing stomach acid diminishes your primary defenses against airborne problems, foodborne pathology. And PPIs, protein pump inhibitors, simply don't do anything to treat the underlying cause of the pain, particularly ulcers. So you have to look at it a very, very different platform. This Wednesday night, we're going to do that. We're going to get together 7 o'clock at the Results Center for Healing. I'd love to have you as my guest, because we're just, you know, kind of laid back and we're going to talk about this thing. I'm going to show you what to do about it. I'm going to show you why your risk level's high. I'm going to show you what you need to know, that can determine your risk level's high. So this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing, give us a call, 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Tell them that you'd like to attend, or just simply go online at rosellecare.com. That's rosellecare.com. And let them, you know, just register. It says register here. Click the button, get it done. And, you know, I'll see you Wednesday evening. We're going to talk about this in detail. But more importantly, I'm going to show you what you can do to fix it. We're going to talk more about GERD the rest of the program today. We're going to talk about the drugs you're taking, the damage it does. We're going to talk about why you can't absorb anything if you're taking these things, let alone, you know, try to help yourself. It's not working that way, and I want you to know that. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're talking about GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I'm in studio. It's gorgeous outside. It's a beautiful, beautiful fall day. But guess what? Either take your headset out, or, you know, you listen on the radio, or you stay where you are, and then you go outside afterwards, right? Right. Because why? Because we have a tremendous amount of information to share with you today, as we do every week. But this one's about GERD. This is called gastroesophageal reflux disease. And about 14 million of you are being treated for this thing directly, and some of you have problems that your physician doesn't know about. And the bottom line is you're being overtreated, because it's a big money egg for the pharmaceutical industry. We're talking about $14 billion, with a B, dollars per year, and they are, you know, wanting to put everybody on this stuff, and even infants. Now they're starting to put babies on GERD because of reflux vomiting. that has nothing to do. Did you know a child does not produce any stomach acid till after 6 months of age? And they want to put these kids on it early. So why in God's name are they putting these kids on it and destroying their bodies early on, increasing the risk for allergen reactions, pneumonia, and so forth? Yeah, we'll get into that as well this Wednesday evening. I'd like to invite you this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. I'm going to be doing a presentation. I will be your host and your presenter this week. Isn't that interesting? I don't do these too often. I'm getting into a flow these days. I like to talk, and I like to help you. So show up, register, go to rosellcare.com, and remember that, you know, it's going to be a full house. So register early and let us know that you'd like to be there. And if we have to change the venue, we will, and we'll let you know. But you have to register for this class. They're free. There's no charge. It's our gift to you, to the community, because you need to know, and we want to give you the information. Before we get more into the program, I want to go to the phone lines. Joan, thank you for holding and being patient. How can I help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. Excuse me. I'd like to know how to get rid of a yeast infection on my throat, on my skin. And if you would allow me another question, please.
Okay, if I can handle it. We only have a couple minutes before the break. Go ahead.
How do I get rid of a yeast infection on my skin, like under breast and groin area?
Okay. Heard that. What's the second question?
Oh, tell me about the shingles vaccine. I know you're not keen on that.
I will address that. I may get into the second half of the program, but let me do the first.
Okay.
Any kind of skin, yeast, mold, fungus type of infection is the body's immune system not holding, and it's usually an inside-out problem. It's not just in your skin. It's inside your body. And, you know, all of us have little areas, for the most part, that we'll see a little loss of pigment and, you know, just a little kind of a small pin-shaped type of circular denuding of the pigment of the body. And that's kind of common. And some of, you know, a lot of times it goes away. Sometimes it just continues to perpetuate itself. But with mold conditions like that, you know, guys call it jock itch and, you know, you get it underneath your arms and so forth. That's a metabolic imbalance within the body itself. And so not only the problem is on the surface, but it's inside. And you got to switch the whole environmental playing field, if you will, of your intestinal system and your immune system and so forth. I'm just going to give you a couple thought processes. And because it's individualistic and there are many different types of molds and fungus and you have to treat them very specific. But any mold, no matter what it is, likes one, moisture, obviously, but it also likes things like peanuts and peanut butter and dairy and sugar and alcohol and other mold-like things like mushrooms, things that are fermented that will cause mold to occur. So you got to get rid of, you know, any kind of cheese in the diet, any kind of alcohol whatsoever. Sugar's got to go. The best case scenario, if you want fruit, is a half a cup of berries a day without anything on them, just plain berries. And then there are very specific applications of medications. But you got to go to the guts. You got to find out why the intestinal tract is unbalanced. Often it's the good bacteria that is missing. And that's because over the years, you know, we've either had antibiotic therapy or we've had steroids or we're eating foods that have them. What do I mean by that? Things that are not organic, free range beef, your chicken, your fish, your turkey, the meats, the things that, you know, that they spray on these things and inject into them are not only mold and yeast formation, but they're also immunologically suppressive. So the dietary pattern's got to shift. If you're eating too many white foods, you know, things like white rice and white potatoes and breads and wheat that rapidly converts into sugar quickly, that's going to support the system. So in a traditional mold yeast diet, you're going to drop the carbohydrate levels in your diet to about 100 grams a day or less. And you're going to go to basically a paleo type of diet with lots of protein, tons of vegetables, and they're going to be baked or broiled or stir fried or things of that nature. And again, this is random. It's not specifically designed for everybody, but it's a broad brush. And then there are things that we can take. Now, to directly, if you eliminate all those things and you start drinking a lot of very strong Pau d'Arco tea. Podiarco is also known by Ipsiro Lapacho. They're the same types of things. So you're gonna drink 3 to 4 cups a day. If it's a vaginal irritation, you can douche with it. It's very healing and very cooling. It's the bark of a tree off of South America, and they grind it up and they make a tea or powder out of it that you can brew. So those are beginning stages. But what I want you to take away from this, because we're coming up to the break, is one, that this is an internal problem when it starts manifesting like that. It's not just a superficial thing. Same thing with mold that grows under nails and toes and so forth. You can't just treat the outside. You have to treat the inside as well. So, Joan, I hope that helps. It's a general guideline. It's a general direction. There's a lot of nutrient bases that we would use in very, very rare conditions should anybody take some of the drugs, because they're very devastating to the liver. But we'll get into that maybe in another program. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. We're coming up to the break, and we're talking about GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, and anything that you'd like to talk about. We're here at 888-630-9625. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I'm in studio. It's gorgeous outside this afternoon. I'm going for a very long walk. It's really, really lovely. This is the kind of weather that I grew up in Western New York State, and when it is nice, which is like September, and then now they start waiting for winter time. It can snow any day now. I'm so glad I live in Virginia. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject. We're talking about GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Why are we talking about GERD? Because this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, that's the topic, and I'm going to present it. I'm going to be your host. I'm going to be your presenter. So join me. It's an area of interest for so many people. The guesstimates are north of 20 million people that are actually on acid-inhibiting drugs, 20 million plus, and there's some studies that say it's far more than that. And that's not including those of you who are getting this stuff without a prescription, that you go down to the store and you can get whatever you... And years ago, you couldn't do that, by the way. So these drugs came out in the 80s, and when they came out, you had to have a prescription, and you could only use them for a short period of time, maybe a week, maybe two at the most, and maybe only 3 times a year. Why were they so conservative then as they compared to the overuse of these drugs now? Because they knew the side effects, and they were warned. Today there's not as much control, and they said, well, we don't go. But here's the deal. Be aware that for most, the risk itself, far supersedes any benefit that could possibly come from using these medications. There's other ways of doing that. True acid problems, the result of the stomach producing way too much acid is very, very limited. Very limited. There's a condition called Zollinger-Ellison syndrome, and it's one that causes the stomach to produce way too much acid, and it can be significant and severe, and you have to deal with it. But the problem is most of the burning that you get has nothing to do with acid. It's actually the opposite. It is way too much alkalinity, too much to the opposite side, and it burns just like too much acid. So now you're putting the fire out, and you're making it worse. So there are other conditions. There are many different things that lead to this gastric problem, and one is the diaphragm not being able to move. The diaphragm is your big muscle in the middle of your chest that cuts you in half, and you have the food tube and you have blood tube, both arterial and venous, going through it. Now, if that isn't working the way it's supposed to, it can put pressure on the stomach. It can put pressure on other areas. So now we have pepsin and hydrochloric acid that's supposed to be produced. But, as I said earlier in the show today, the problem is this, that when you take these protein pump inhibitors, you dramatically increase your risk of other types of condition, and one is heart attack. Dramatically increasing the risk of people having a heart attack who have no history of potential heart attack problems until they take these drugs. And then if you add that to aspirin, by the way, in a whole different ballgame, you're looking at heart failure and things of that nature. This isn't me telling you things. Look it up. You increase your risk of pneumonia and tremendous bone loss, the inability to absorb things like B12 and other minerals. You go into anemic patterns, hip fractures, different types of bacteria. Here's, you know, the patient came in some years ago, and they had heard my lecture, and you know, they didn't take in mind everything that I said. And I said to them, you're causing yourself problems and worsening your condition, and you really, and they bought it, they understood that. So they stopped taking it, and they went to the health food store, and they ended up getting hydrochloric acid precursors, betaine. But they'd been on the PPIs so long that the stomach lining that protects you, by the way, hydrochloric acid is necessary, so let's get that understood fully. You got to have that. Otherwise, you can't break proteins down and absorb calciums and mineralizations and things, as we've been talking about. But the stomach lining had been broken down, so that protective stomach lining was gone. And then they went and they took these hydrochloric acid precursors and just burned like crazy. And said, you're out of your mind. No, you're supposed to heal the gut first. There's many things that you have to do. And it's in an order when you, that's why in the early days, they didn't allow you to stay on these things because they knew that it would destroy your gut and then decrease the acid. Now you have all kinds of pathogens that get in the body besides not, and you talk about ulcers. Yeah. Well, you can get ulcers from too much alkalinity, just like you can from not enough acid. So you need to know what really takes place. So it's, if you go through the whole process and you begin to understand the side effects that are caused, even the decrease in something called nitric oxide, which relaxes your blood vessels, increasing blood flow, that can be diminished by taking PPIs. That's why they increase your risk of a heart attack. You're not getting oxygen to the heart tissue. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration. But when they went through, they did a huge research study, 16 medical records on, I think it was about 3 million plus patients. And they saw that these PPIs, these protein pump inhibitors, the drugs, the medications they utilize with GERD condition, dramatically heightened cardiovascular risk in the general population. This is serious stuff. We're killing ourselves. We are killing ourselves by doing things that we shouldn't be doing or without asking the question, why did these things start? If you ever had a car accident, you ever had a fall, you ever hit yourself in the head, if you find that you got neck pain all the time and or you get headaches and it's interfering with two nerve areas. One's called the vagus nerve, which is a brain nerve. It's a cranial nerve. And it goes down and it affects the stomach function and the diaphragm. And then the phrenic nerve, which comes off the neck and it goes down and affects the diaphragm as well. Anything that disturbs those two things are going to disturb the functional capacity of this big muscle that cuts you in half that allows a lot of these conditions to exist. So acid reflux, you know, when there's no relaxation of these muscles can come about, but the fix is not using the drug because of all these, the fix is fixing the problem. Fix that. Let's go to the phones. Greg, thank you for holding. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Doc, I was just curious. I've had some experience around people that have LPR, and there's a big difference. I mean, a lot of people don't really realize what the difference with GERD and LPR is and the different effects. I didn't know if you would like to comment on that.
I can. What is your intention, you know, for this? Is just a general information piece, or is there something that you would like to know?
Well, more so for some of the people out there that just don't understand. We had some, I've seen especially elderly people who may ask, small particle aspirations due to LPR. They don't believe they have GERD. Gets in their lungs. They get, as you're saying, you have to start to solve the problem first, and they end up with pneumonia. And just so many people say, well, I don't have GERD, but LPR is not necessarily exactly the same, I don't believe.
No, it's not. It's a diaphragmatic problem. And so what's happening is that when you have any kind of diaphragmatic issue and there's not a full swallowing, if you will, of food particles that should go from the mouth through the esophagus into the gut and they get stuck and then they reflex them back into the trachea and going down into the bronchial areas. Now you got a pneumonia potential because it's something stuck there and it becomes infected or it just becomes inflammatory. It's a similar condition, but it's not GERD. And when you're talking about GERD itself, gastroesophageal reflux disease, you know, what the medical community is trying to say is that anything that burns is a result of too much stomach acid. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Unfortunately, you know, as I said earlier on, that as patients get older, as we get older, we produce far less hydrochloric acid and then we did when we were in our 20s. Most of the authors will agree that it's about 30%. So the bottom line is, why suppress it when you need more to begin with? But what you're talking about, you know, with this condition, it's a diaphragmatic problem that is not allowing particles of food to go through the body. Swallowing reflexes as people get older are more significant because of the cranial nerves. The vagus nerve is one of the primary that affects all these things, particularly the diaphragm. So when you watch older patients, watch the upper portion of their neck and their skull. It's not moving. And that tells you that there's going to be neurological impairment. There's the hypoglossus nerve, which also affects the throat and swallowing patterns. And if that's not firing properly, then you're going to get into the conditions that, you know, that you're talking about. So you have to look at all of that. And when we treat patients, particularly elderly patients, one of the most important things is to make sure that they have good, normal functional mechanics. If you treat the mechanical structures of the body properly, free up these neurological pathways and transmissions, things work properly, but they don't need to be drugged. They don't need to have things made worse by putting them on these PPIs. So that's the differentiating pattern. But GERD itself is a rare condition unless the diaphragm is squeezing the stomach. Then you're going to get some leakage. But the problem is don't shut the acid off. Fix the condition. And the same thing with the mechanics of swallowing of any level. If you can't swallow because the diaphragm isn't allowing that reflex to open up properly, or the cranial nerves aren't firing properly, then you got to fix those things, not just put out the symptom process, and that's where we get in a lot of trouble. Greg, I hope that helps. I hope that gives us a little bit of a differentiating explanation. You know, you have so many different differentiating conditions that can show up. And they all come down to looking at the why, the underlying presupposition behind everything. What happened? What took place? And that causes ultimately, and people eat garbage today. They eat crap, you know, and that's going to irritate stomach. It's going to make you feel bloated. It's going to put pressure on your stomach. It's going to cause some burning, but often that burning is not only acidic, but that burning is in fact alkaline, way too much alkalinity, just the same type of alkalinity that burn your garden out if you put too much of that on there. So you have to understand the process. What is it that's really taking place? Why did it show up to begin with? And on this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be doing the presentation in-house. It's going to be me, yours truly. And we're going to be talking about GERD and the fix behind it and all these things that come about and why protein pump inhibitors are rarely the primary step into fixing these things. These acid reflux medications are awful, and they can cause devastating conditions as well as heart disease. And, you know, we start out, oh, my stomach burns. So I go out, and it's because you drank too much the night before, and you go out and get some chocolate milk or something of that nature, but you happen to be allergic to chocolate or you happen to be allergic to milk. And now you increase the problem. We had a caller early on that talked about mold and fungus and candida problems. And if you have any kind of sensitivity and you're drinking milk, guess what? One of the symptoms is that your stomach is going to burn like crazy. That's, you know, we have to understand the mechanisms that take place. B12 deficiency that is caused by often by protein pump inhibitors, if you will, can cause your chronic cough. So B12 deficiency is known as a cause of central nervous system challenges and damage. It's been implicated in all kinds of sensory neuropathies. You know, you listen to the radio stations and television and say, well, you have neuropathy. Well, one of the reasons that people have neuropathy is they don't have enough B12, or it's not absorbing properly, and there's many different types of B12. And this can come around because of the PPIs, these protein pump inhibitors. They stop the absorption of many things. One of the primary things is B12 folic acid. There's a study that I was going through the other day, just kind of, you know, as I thumbed through journals and so forth, that was a review of a study that was done about five years ago, I think. And it showed that B12 deficiency in patients had a higher prevalence, if you don't have enough B12, of laryngeal problems, hyper-responsive patterns within the throat. So if your B12 is down, you're going to have symptoms that are going to revolve around your throat and your bronchial tubes and so forth. You're going to find that you're coughing. And so you have to make sure that B12, if you're getting enough of it to begin with, and it's one that we're, as a society, we're very deficient on, is not due to some of the medications and drugs that you're taking. So this chronic cough comes about because these neurological pathways are being damaged because we're not getting enough B12, and we're not getting enough B12 because people are taking medications, PPIs particularly, that are going to stop the absorption of it. And, you know, this is not rocket science. You can check it out. You can look it up. You know, do your due diligence. Remember, I've said over the years, don't believe anybody, including me. You know, check out your homework. But I'm telling you, this is going to happen. So, when you're eating, you know, eggs and things of that nature, and, you know, which may have some B12. And by the way, don't fry them. You need to poach them, or you need to eat them soft boiled, or, you know, hard boiled, things like that, so you can absorb things that come from them. But that mystery cough that nobody can get their hands around, and also anemia problems, you know, pernicious anemia is a B12 condition. And when people are on digestive suppressors like PPIs and Maalox and things that you can get over the counter, they're going to cause. And guess what happens? Then your risk of asthma goes through the ceiling in addition to that. So when you're suppressing something that should be there and you don't fix the why behind it, you got a problem. Now, obviously, I'm being very superficial today, but I'm going to get very specific this Wednesday evening. So join me. If you have any problems with heartburn, if you have any problems with bloating, if you have any problems with distension in the stomach area after you eat and your doctor's telling you, well, you may have GERD, and oh my God, if we don't fix it, you're going to end up with esophageal cancer. You know what? You need to take a real deep breath of air and say maybe, and let me get some other information. And this Wednesday night, I'm going to give you that other data. There are another class of drugs called H2 receptor antagonists, and these are things like Xanax and Tagamet. And then you add those to the protein pump inhibitors, and, you know, the last thing you want to put in your body is these drugs to deal with GERD. It's the last thing. You don't go there first, because you're causing yourself a problem. These drugs will further shut down your stomach's ability to produce any kind of digestive enzyme. So how in God's name are you supposed to digest your food and get the nutrition out of it if you're doing this? You're barely going to get the calories that you need. Your body's going to start storing things. Your metabolic process start shutting down. So you're losing your B12. You're losing your folic acid. You're losing all kinds of things that are going to kill you. And I say that very specifically. It's going to kill you. So, you know, when you're sitting there and you're looking at B12 deficiency, there's other things that can come about. It's called type 2 diabetes. And then you increase your coffee consumption. And then guess what? You increase your risk of doing gastric bypass surgery by 15% if you're a coffee drinker. Yeah, I said that. You know, forget about all the guys that tell you that coffee is great for the brain. Well, I'm telling you, there's other problems as well when you're jacking it up. So come to the lecture this Wednesday evening. We're going to talk about all these things. And, you know, you get to stump me. Okay? Ask the questions. It's a lot of fun. We'll have a good time. The Roselle Center for Healing, 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Call. Go to RoselleCare.com. Don't go away. We're coming up to a break. I'll be right back after these important messages.
Rangers.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon. That's providing the Redskins aren't playing. And then you have to listen to Saturday at 4 o'clock. I mean, in playing in town. And this week, they're playing out of town tomorrow night and all of that. By the way, I have to take the opportunity. Just have to. You know, we have to reach out and shout out and congratulate Kirk Cousins on the birth of his new baby boy. Indeed, 9 pounds, 6 ounces. It's a stud. The kid's going to grow a football player already. Anyway, baby was born, I think, on Thursday, and so he's ready to go tomorrow night. So he better play well, because I have bragging rights. My best friend, Dr. Evan Mladenov, was the doctor for the Kansas City Chiefs for about 13, 14 years. And yeah, I got the phone call, and he said, so what are we putting on the game? And so it's, yeah. So hopefully the Redskins will soar. Anyway, congratulations, Kirk. I'm glad that all went well for you and Julie. We're talking about gastroesophageal reflux disease as we're going to this Wednesday evening, the 4th, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. And guess what? I'm going to be your guy. I'm going to be doing the presentation, so show up. You know that I have no problem getting into, you know, the dirt with a lot of these different conditions, and particularly this one, particularly when it's killing people. And, you know, we had a caller earlier on that talked about LPR, which is laryngeal problems, where basically the throat, you can't swallow. And it comes from all kinds of things. But it symptomologically can be similar, and because things build up. And he talked a little bit about elderly people not being able to swallow, and then they end up with potentials of pneumonia and other erosions that are not okay. That's a problem. It's very significant, and there's a lot of neurological problems that have to be ruled out with that type of condition, but this, there's a lot of similar situations. You know, these people can suffer chronic coughs as well, and they can end up with laryngitis and hoarseness of the throat. And but more importantly, it begins to affect multi-pieces of respiration and potential damage. So we need to look at all of this as a group. But again, it comes down to the why is that. All of these things can be linked neurologically, they can be linked dietarily, they can be, there's a fix. There's a fix. It's rare that it can't be fixed and get people off of these things if patients are willing to change. So we're going to talk about PPIs, we're going to talk about H2 inhibitors and H2 blockers, we're going to talk about the mechanics behind this, we're going to show you what can be done. And as I said earlier on, if you've had an injury, if you've been living with pain, particularly in your neck or your back, these are things that can show up. And if you're in a situation where you don't breathe properly and you're a chest breather, you know, instead of breathing from your stomach, you're not moving your diaphragm, and that diaphragm gets stuck. It just gets pushed hard. So it's one of those things that you got to know the why. And I'm going to teach you the why, and I'm going to show you what can be done, and we're going to make a difference. But, you know, you should be frustrated, right? Energy and money and different diets and, you know, different approaches, and you go to the doc and they're well-meaning, but it's not answering the question. And in any situation, if you don't answer the why, you get nothing done. And this is one of those. We have to fix it because there's too many people that are suffering conditions that are so totally preventable. But, you know, it's scary when you can increase a person's risk of death because of the medications, and this is one of them. And there's well over, just diagnosed north of 14 million people, and some authors will tell you that it's even much, much higher than that, by 50%. And again, we said that's not even those of you who are going out and just grabbing the stuff on the open market because, you know, you can get a lower dosage, and so you increase the dosage. That's your thought process, but you're killing yourselves. So let's talk about it this Wednesday evening. Let's get together. Let's go through the whole process of unveiling, if you will. And, you know, we'll put a new light on the GERD problem. You know, acid reflux and ulcers and so forth, things show up, but, you know, why destroy your immune system to try to fix something that has a cause? And when you want to find the cause, let's get it. You know, you have a minimum, just with PPIs, and forget about the other drugs that they interact with, but you're around 20% increased risk of having a heart attack. And I don't know about you, but it's not a risk I want to take. You know, it's not something that, you know, but these PPIs, they can be habit forming and they're dangerous, and you go, try to go off of them and you hurt even more because they're destroying, you know, they're destroying everything that you need to digest your food. So you go into, you know, anemic conditions and you break bones and you don't absorb things. Your brain doesn't work the way you're supposed to. And yeah, it goes beyond that too. But this Wednesday evening, join me. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about these things. Go to RoselleCare.com and make it happen. See you next week. God love you all.